hell is he? 5 months late. 5 months?
I mean, this is unreal. They're going to start eating each other out there.
Oh, did you hear? He did another project without us.
You're kidding.
How did I come to this?
Not again.
I was on the Daily Showa.
5 guest spots.
There were 5 guest spots. I was a racist podcaster once. Damn it, now look at me. Look at me. I can't go out there, and I won't say that stupid soundboard one more time. I can't. I won't.
Well, Borzoi, at least you had a part. Okay, you had a podcast people love. I mean, everyone has condensed me to saying stop giving money to pedophiles. No one even bothered to ask me what show I was on.
You had the wait. I'll think of it.
It was the Young Whites, D.E. You've been on it.
Woo! Your cowboy is on deck. Wow, those bannings are hot and heavy today, huh? Am I too late for Borzoi's autistic meltdown? Apparently not. You know, you should just collapse your stress. Yeah.
Let's hear a few more clips.
Okay, what did I do? What?
Over all the episodes, we developed the same affection for the crew as the crew had for each other. They were just stuttering retards making racist jokes. These were friends.
Unbelievable.
You are so full of it, man.
It's not a big deal. These guys just put a studio in their basement. I'm there an hour. It's nothing, Nikkei. They wanted the specter.
There he goes.
Borzoi, wait. Grab him.
Okay, yeah. Here we go.
Come on, old friend. Old friend,
you stole my best takes. You dumped the podcast on me.
The chic Greek, my personal favorite, Nikkei Feroz.
Stop giving money to pedophiles.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's hear a warm welcome for crack lawyer Kegs for Kavanaugh. Dharma King.
You will stream this.
I won't, and nothing you say will make me.
Dark Enlightenment.
The show must go on.
Damn you. But I won't say that stupid soundboard one more time.
Borzoi Boscovich. Yeah, all right.
Collapse. Hyperreality. Spectacle. Narcissism. Humiliation. Wrath.
Yeah, all right. That guy likes words. And finally, my fellow clown worldians, the charming host of the most huggable podcast, the third, rail, Spectre.
Mr. Producer.
Hail victory.
See ya, Kyle. What? Huh?
Man, where the hell is he?
Those two idiots you saw me talking to at the third rail.
Just he doesn't want to touch the third rail.
That's, you've hit the third rail for sure.
That is the third rail, saying white people have interest.
Third rail. The third rail here is another wonderful show on the TRS network.
And it's the third rail. You will be destroyed.
It's the third rail. You will be destroyed.
Watch out for the third rail, baby. That's high voltage.
And the opinion of this reporter, if this nation, or in fact the world, ever needed heroes, that time is now. That time is now.
Just as America is collapsing into its own footprint faster than the Twin Towers when the Jews did 9/11, this is happening. It is episode 186 of the most huggable GameStop patrician podcast on the air since 1973, The Third Rail. It's like Dungeons and Dragons, if by dragons you mean young Jewish diarists being deported east. We are coming to you almost live in the mobile Third Rail studio from right here in the glorious clown world of Soviet America, and we want to welcome all our new Boomer Waffen and Conservatard listeners. As with our uncle in the comfy chair, you should have listened to us. Ha! How are you? It is Spectre. I know you were expecting to hear the usual voice of that Forrest Gump-sounding retard. I like hosting. I like it a lot.
God damn!
But this is too exciting a time to stay away.
He's not even here to clap back.
I am happier than Anderson Cooper with a wheelbarrow full of buttholes. Yes, lads, we are... We are jolly green giants walking the earth, boys. Well, my co-host isn't jolly. or a giant. In fact, it's kind of a return to nationalism here on the Third Reel. He's the chili on my hot dog. Borzoi, how are you doing, old friend?
I apologize to everybody who heard the bit and did not understand the esoteric experimental nature of it. If I had time to do After Effects, it would have been a really, really funny bit. But watch Galaxy Quest.
Yes. Also on the mics today, his chill is only exceeded by his herpes viral count. It's Dharma King.
Namaste, my dudes.
And he's not here yet, but he train posts more than Adolf Eichmann, whether we want him to or not. DE will be with us. And finally, because of new... Oh, hey, how you doing, DE?
He's here.
All right. And finally, because of new diversity mandates, we had to have at least one fucking darkie on the show. It's Nikkei. How are you?
I'm glad you came back from those cigarettes, Dad. I thought you were taking a while, but I knew you'd come back.
And at the control booth, our producer, TV's Frank. How are you, sir?
Fucking kike.
Frank. But first, a quick word from our sponsor. Is your child an aspiring entomologist? Does your budding little child scientist love bugs and insects? Then we have the perfect summer program for you. Sign up today for our exclusive San Francisco Entomologist Summer Camp, the San Francisco Lil Bug Chasers. We have highly trained camp counselors who will spend plenty of one-on-one time with each camper. There's no bug we won't chase.
Oh,
sign up today. No refunds and an ironclad NDA is required for each camper.
Bellerophon's getting better with those. That was the spiciest one yet.
Yeah.
Good job, Bellerophon. So anything happened while I was away?
You motherfucker. All right, I've been saving this up. You fucking piece of shit. The amount of times that I had people ask me, where is Spectre? And because you told me, I just want to ghost from the show. Like I'm going to do a French exit. Don't mention me ever again. You motherfucker. The amount of pain you put me through for the last 5 fucking months.
But you enjoy it. You enjoy being hurt. You enjoy being disappointed. Am I wrong?
People asked me about it 2 days ago.
I get requests all the time too. Like people are like, "Yo, where's Spectre?" I'm like, no comment.
People only tell me I'm glad Spectre's gone.
No, it's but I was so happy. I told people as well. Like some people, I told the last NJP thing. They were asking me about you, and I said, if I were to put my money on it, I'll get Spectre back in 2021. This is not the first time you've left the show. I knew I could get you back eventually. So,
well, I just had some things to take care of, and got some projects in the works. I'm gonna plug my book that we discussed that I did all that research for in 2019. It is getting published.
Yeah, I was very excited to hear that because I wasn't sure if that had just become vaporware at that point.
No, it just my partner and I just took a little time to shop it around to the right people, and it will be coming out. Title as yet undetermined. We have to update it from 2019 to 2021, include a chapter on the pandemic and all that stuff. But yeah,
well, tell people what it is, because there's new listeners who probably have no idea what you're referring to, especially because we've wiped the archive like 6 times by now.
That's true. So in 2019, I spent about 7 months on the road, traveling the U.S., went through Appalachia, the Rust Belt, the Deep South, Midwest, researching the impact of the opioid crisis on white working people. In particular, so we went from a macro level where we interviewed experts in pharmacology and pharmaceutical policy at the national level to I would parachute into these small towns, places in Appalachia, these wonderful people with are wonderful places with all these wonderful people, parts of the country that unless you live there, you probably have never seen and can't appreciate. But, you know, deep in the mountains of Kentucky, in the hollers of West Virginia, it reminded me of what our people are and what they can build, and then also how they're under attack. Because I dive down deep into the level of talking to drug court judges, counselors, rehab clinic people, recovering addicts, police, I mean, just all sorts of people all dealing with the opioid crisis. And what, you know, right now we don't have a title for it. We have a working title. I prefer The Jews Did This,
But
yeah, but that's every book.
That's true. That's the title
of my book on the suburbs, damn it.
But yeah, so this will be my actually second published book, which I guess that, you know, that's two things I have on every Antifa blogger and HuffPost hack. None of them have that. So,
yeah, here's a title for you. Chasing the White Ghost.
Nice. Well, ooh, that's almost like a double little reference there.
Oh, yeah.
I think our working title was actually White Death. Because, you know, I'm sitting here making jokes, but it's such a serious thing. And, you know, if you're not familiar with this, the opioid crisis was intentionally brought about. It was a matter of policy, not like, oh, look, oops, we didn't mean to do this. It was brought about by the people like the Sacklers family, the Sacklers. In 2017, the death toll from overdoses exceeded 79,000, which is, you know, far more than we lost in the entire Vietnam War. It's actually more than we lost in the Vietnam War and every war since then combined. And that was in 1 year. And so we, you know, our thing was to humanize it, to look at the people who were victims of this, as well as the nefarious plot, hand-rubbing plotters behind it all. And so it's going to be coming out probably first, maybe second quarter of this year.
Oh, excellent. Nice.
Did you get into the opium wars and who caused those?
We didn't go that far back into history. We kind of kept to
Sassoon family, by the way, for people who want to know.
Yeah, the Jewish Sassoon family.
Right. So, like, messing with opiates and getting people addicted and destroying their nation is kind of a thing for them.
Just oh, yeah, saying. Absolutely. It's a well-worn plot device for them. But yeah, that's all for my little plug for this week. We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
But I think you also need to let people know, is this a one-off thing or what's your plans with the show here?
Oh, I'm back. Pretty much as a regular. It's going to be, I guess, me, you, and Bellerophon kind of rotating here and there, but we'll always have someone. And Bellerophon, I do want all bants aside, he's done a fantastic job in my absence. No, YouTube or always, yes, maybe you not so much, but Bellerophon for sure.
No, I appreciate Bellerophon stepping up to host because I didn't want to take that job. That's something that when you're here, I don't mind hosting from time to time, but this is fundamentally your show, and it would have felt weird to me to become the full time host. And also with things coming up in my life, I wouldn't have had time for it anyway. So I have a big thank you to Bellerophon for stepping up to take on that role for the last 5 months.
Absolutely. All right, well, what do we got here today, boys?
I have L.A. County has suspended air quality regulations that limit the number of cremations as it handles a backlog of bodies from the pandemic. I have, as birth rates fall, animals prowl in our abandoned ghost villages. And I have Seffy Kogan becomes one of us as he talks about the 5 million number.
Nice. I think we have some good information for him on, you know, disproving the 5 million because of, you know, things like, cremation rates, mass graves.
I like how Spectre just volunteered Borzoi for Third Rail Forever.
Voluntold.
Voluntold. DK, what are you bringing to the table today?
I just have some funny tweets from leftists who are butthurt about the GameStop situation and things good. Like, so yeah, I mean, whatever. And people are probably tired of talking about it but I'm not yet.
So I am not. No, sir. I got in on Monday because of you, DK. I put some money in on Monday. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool.
So I guess I got to share it with you, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to sell. I'm holding.
No,
I'm
you holding. Got a hodl. You got a hodl. That's the way forward. Hodling.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah.
Did you guys hear that Tendy Man sea shanty song they made?
No.
Yes. Yes. It's Frank, great. If you can find that, we need to play that over.
I have it. I'll post it.
All right. DE, what do you got today, sir?
Mostly just bands, and then a couple of the Stockdale Paradox I want to talk about, and I want to talk about Newton's Laws of Motion.
Okay. And Nikkei,
I've got ignore the populist GameStop hype. Short sellers are the heroes from Forbes.
Written by who's the author?
John Tammy.
That's not a. Okay.
All right. I'm still getting frostbite from that take, but.
All right, Frank, start the clock. See how fast it takes me to find what the ethnicity is.
I'm racing you right now.
I'm going to bring. I was fortunate enough to be at Moik's last NJP speech, so I want to talk a little bit about that and just where we are overall. I mean, I've had to. I've been away from the mics during some really exciting times. And now that, I mean, I am so excited about the times we're living in. I mean, the collapse is happening around us like in real time. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. So we can kind of save that for last or whatnot.
It's up to you.
Cause I mean, that's just kind of a broad picture. So anybody who wants to go first, hell, I'll do it
because I have two meta topics that might, help with the discussion. I was talking with a friend of mine who's in our thing 3-4 days ago, and I came to a conclusion. Hey, Spectre, did you ever take a physics class in like high school?
Yeah, but probably didn't do well.
Oh, well, I wouldn't expect honestly, I wouldn't have expected you to do well. But no, the first thing you learn is Newton's laws of motion, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, an object at rest tends to stay at rest. An object in motion tends to stay in motion. Force equals mass times acceleration. For every action, there is a reaction.
Well, you know, that sounds very complicated to me, and I've learned that anything that's complicated is probably a lie.
Well,
so, I'm not sure I believe
you. This was put together by an Englishman, so...
So it's a double lie.
Okay. Yeah, very suspicious.
Anyway, with just very few laws of physics, as it were... You get basically everything we have in our society, up to the electronic revolution, really. I was thinking about it, and our politics, realism about Jews, realism about women, realism about race is the equivalent of like understanding Newton's laws of motion, and then they have this infinite variety of ways that you can apply them and understand things. And the reason that everyone else is so incoherent is that they're trying to build a skyscraper without understanding how any of this stuff works. And I just think that powerful explanation of like, no, this is how the world works is a great way to get out, reach out to people and bring them on board in this time of really, really, I think the greatest opportunity we've had since 2015. So I'd be curious what everyone else had to say about that.
I zoned out. You were talking about physics. Could you repeat that?
Missed you, buddy. Missed you. no, it's that right now we have an unprecedented opportunity. A complete institutional failure of the nominal right across the board, you know, really.
Oh, yeah.
And that's people need explanations and we have them.
Oh, so. And these absolutely. And that's actually part of what I was going to talk about. So I'll save a little bit of my powder on that. But and I've talked to so many Norman conservatives and Boomer Waffen types in Telegram and in other places. And they're, you know, you show them like the NJP platform and they're like, well, all of this makes sense to me. Where's the Nazi stuff? It's like, well, duh, this is just basic third positionism here. And, you know, the things that that went into the creation of this are predictive. They, you know, they actually, you know, it's like getting the unlock code and all of a sudden everything that's driving you crazy that doesn't make sense, it makes sense. I mean, right now, this is why I said we're living in exciting times. Free speech is under attack in a way that it hasn't ever been before. They have named half of the country as domestic terrorists. Social media sites are doubling down. People are being prosecuted federally for a mostly peaceful protest or for making memes in 2016. They are doing the whole Marxist reality inversion where they're offering BLM a Nobel Peace Prize after an entire summer of rioting and burning and more than 60 people dead. They're calling a bunch of boomers who went to the Capitol insurrectionists. So many people are unsure about this new president's legitimacy. They actually had to bring in the military as an occupation force in Washington. That's how popular he was. You had a kangaroo court impeachment for that fat orange retard. You have a literal, you know, mentally ill Jewish monster as the assistant secretary of health. The public is being shown just this week that they are not allowed to do the things that Wall Street does, and they're getting away with it. These people are ripe and ready to hear what really is behind all of their problems, and they are listening.
And I'm also enjoying the fact that a lot, well, what even remains of what can be called the left, because most people, these people are just, you know, the radical liberals or rad libs. But what, you know, remains of the left is tripping over their dick, not able to even respond to any of this whatsoever, because they're basically theory cells who who are, you know, pro revolt until they see who's doing the revolt. It's like, no, not those people.
On this note, sorry, did you have more?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, it's really funny this week watching people, you know, like complaining about if you attack these toxic vulture hedge funds, and then you're being anti-Semitic. Oh, well, why is that? Why would you associate Judaism with these hedge funds that destroy white culture?
Right. All right, I'm calling time. What? I found some evidence.
On Tammany?
Tammany, not Tammany.
Oh, Tammany. Okay, that makes more sense.
He's got a Semitic face to him. I couldn't find any tweets or any like things in the background of pictures he's posted to, you know, prove Jewish, but ancestry.com on the Tammany family, name origin history, they have 100% of their, examples are in New York. And I scroll down to see the list of names of people who died with that. We got David Tammany, Frank Tammany, Ida, Paul, Israel, Jacob, Samuel, and Saul.
Oh my God!
Oh my God! Yeah.
Well, I'm going with Jewish.
Yeah.
I mean, it was also funny. I mean, somebody in the chat said this. So many anti-Semites were born this week just because of the behavior of these Wall Street elites. And I'm not trying to steal any of DK's prep, but I did find one tweet myself. It's from a I don't know who this guy is. He's not a blue check mark, but he's like some blue black stock analyst. He says, "You obviously don't understand what shorting is. For every short share, there's someone on the other side who owns the stock. The last time shorts were eradicated from markets, Weimar Republic in the 1920s, when selling started, Germany went into depression, giving rise to Hitler." I'm like, wait,
do go on, please.
Hey, yo, hold up. I did this joke on GamerCore yesterday on the National Institute for Gamer Review, but yeah, you's telling me if we ban short selling, that we's gonna get Hitler? Like,
we get to destroy toxic Jewish hedge funds, and we get a free Hitler. I like where 2021 is going.
Yeah.
What do you mean? How does banning predatory financial investment practices cost Hitler? I don't understand.
Lads, we are financing our way to literally Hitler hashtag finance.
This doesn't sound like capitalism in decay. I don't get it.
Yeah. So DE, back to your original point. You're absolutely right. That's why, I mean, I couldn't stay away. There's just too much going on. And they actually think that we're upset that they're cracking down like this. They actually think that, well, for starters, they still believe that the dissident right is butthurt about Trump. I mean, I've actually seen still articles coming out saying that.
This was literally the best outcome we possibly could have had. Like a literal betrayal by Trump, an obvious steal from, I know this isn't the line, but I'm 100% convinced that the election was stolen. And we have the system is completely illegitimate, and orange retard is out of the way. Please sign me up. I'll take two scoops, please.
A lot of you guys aren't on Twitter anymore, but Almighty Genie, who is, you know, one of the more popular original groypers, he actually got outright censored by Twitter, and to the point that they actually removed all likes, all retweets, and all replies to his tweet. The tweet read, "They killed Epstein and told us it was suicide, and every normal person knew it was bullshit and it didn't matter. And then they blatantly rigged the election and then blatantly rigged the stock market. They don't care anymore." And Twitter added their little warning here. "This claim of election fraud is disputed and this tweet can't be replied to, retweeted, or liked due to a risk of violence."
Well, you can screenshot it and repost it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just basically we are at the point where politics is done. The mask is off on their side. Right-wing thought of any sort is now a crime, or at least, you know, morally suspect. They're unironically talking about re-education camps. They're firing people for just having a Gab account, not even what they say on Gab. You got children informing on their parents. I mean, there's no way that the left can put on the brakes. They actually call this thing this week with GameStop a stock insurrection.
Can I talk about the lady who got fired?
Yeah, sure.
Do you guys remember the astronaut love triangle story?
Oh, God.
She was like lady in the diaper.
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
She drove cross country to like beat up on her husband's side piece or something. And like, because of the drive was so long and she didn't want to stop, she used her special astronaut diapers.
Oh, yeah. No,
and, like,
I think I remember this
them.
Now.
That was the part that I remember anyway.
Okay. So let me put together a couple things for you here. William Oliphant, OEFELEIN, is the name of the astronaut. The women in question were Colleen Shipman and astronaut love triangle. 9 years later, victim Colleen Shipman opens up about the attack in her marriage to Bill Oliphant. The woman, Wasilla woman, fired from job, Colleen Oliphant of Wasilla. It is literally the wife of the dude that was the astronaut in question. The woman who was the actual girlfriend that Lisa Nowak assaulted is the lady who lost her job. Huh. So we have a former astronaut who's now a literary agent living in Wasilla, Alaska, is the one who's attacked for having a Gab account.
Jesus Christ.
There's all kinds of fucky stuff happening with this, and it's not clear to me. Like,
bro,
there's a lot of angles
in
this story.
Ultra simulation.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, what the hell? I mean, yeah. Well, that woman's like, she's got the worst part of the simulation. She's can't catch a break.
Now I'm having like flashbacks to like that Maria Athens in Alaska as well, when she was screaming anti-Semitic stuff at the mayor of one of the cities in Alaska. Like, what is going on with women in Alaska?
I don't know. If it's all right, I want to tie some of the stuff we've been talking about together and pull up some of those funny tweets that I referenced earlier, because it goes to exactly what you were talking about, Spectre. First, we have let's start with Elizabeth Warren, because I think this really kind of indicates where just how insane and the left's messaging is. She writes this letter to the chairman of the SEC. And she's like, I'm writing regarding the recent surge in share prices for the video game retailer GameStop, blah, blah, blah. She goes to like describe some of the, you know, all of this kind of stuff. And then she has a list of pointed questions that she wants to ask the chairman at the end. Right. She's deeply concerned about this whole mess. So, you know, question one, heading A, subheading Roman numeral lowercase one. To what extent did large investors such as hedge funds like Melvin Capital Management and their short positions impact the fluctuation of GameStop share prices? Did any of these practices violate existing securities laws? Now, that's, I guess, good on her to like ask that question and raise that question, but like, it's also a retarded question. Like, nobody has any under any illusions that, you know, with Melvin shorts and talks about a short that obviously impacts the price of the share. I mean, that in and of itself, it could be argued that short positions in themselves are a form of market manipulation.
Absolutely.
And then she goes and she's like the best case scenario you could make here is that she's both siding this. Her subheading question, Roman numeral two, to what extent did online message boards such as those on Reddit or broader social media amplification impact the fluctuation of GameStop's prices? Did any of these practices violate existing securities laws? This is like, in a sense, the only actual question here. And it's noteworthy because she is Elizabeth Warren, the heir apparent to the Bernie wing of the Democrat caucus, is sicking the SEC on 4chan and Reddit. She's literally requesting that the federal government get involved. And you better believe that it's, you know, now that it has her imprimatur, it was probably already in the works, but she is now the face of this. imagine like trying to explain as a leftist why it's a good thing that Elizabeth Warren is trying to get the SEC to browse biz and you know see if there's what's up with that.
Oh, don't worry, they will.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
To the congressional hearings where they're basically just scrolling through just dozens upon dozens of pink screaming Wojaks.
On that note, we have here this second tweet. Frank, if you want to pull this up, and I have some more that are worth discussing. But here is from Hillary Sargent, who's a blue check. I believe she's some kind of journofa. I'm not 100%. I believe she has. But she says, is anti-Semitism the driving force behind the GameStop short squeeze? Maybe yes. Not. But certainly anti-Semitism is a force that's delighted in it and is pushing it as much as they can across multiple platforms. A very small portion of the relevant examples below. And she has some great screenshots, which I guess I could read some of this just because, you know, for those who are going to be listening to this only, there's a Pepe with a NSDAP armband gassing a happy merchant saying, this is just the beginning of our vengeance. We're hitting the Jew where it hurts, his bank account. Another says, just heard Melvin Capital and all the other Jews have started trying to short Freedom Reserve. We can't let these K-words win Reddit. Bye, bye, bye. SmelvinCapital.com is 420 Tendi Heaven Avenue, floor 69, Olympus Mons, Mars, $10,000. is founded in 2021 by Gabe Foreskin, the chief firm's chief defaulting officer. And finally, there's a post on, it looks like a Discord, by DComo. It just says over and over again, short dollar sign Jew, short dollar sign Jew, short dollar sign Jew, over and over and over again.
Do you realize that some of these childless women who complain on Twitter about things like this, they actually do not understand that anti-Semitism is not illegal. Being a fascist is not illegal. You know, having these opinions is not illegal. Maybe it will be soon, but they actually believe that people are breaking the law, and therefore anything that, you know, being done like this GameStop rebellion is illegitimate because, oh my gosh, some Nazis liked it.
Yeah, there was another, I don't have it pulled up, but there was another tweet saying that, like, watch out, you know, the Nazis are collaborating on Telegram. Like, that's what's driving the GameStop thing. It's like, okay, well, I mean, oh, here's another great one. Yes, this is a screenshot from CNN that's been making the rounds of Chris Cuomo doing a Developing Tonight behind the Reddit-driven stock market frenzy. And he has the meme up where there's the crying, screaming goth girlfriend, babe, will you please sell so we're millionaires? And the Chad Aryan dude from the Yes meme saying, no, we must make them pay. This is on CNN.
I literally had that conversation this week. I really did. Because after you, yeah. So I got into, I don't even know if I mentioned this before the show or during, but DK, you mentioned it in our chat on Monday. I looked into it and I was like, okay, I got some extra money lying around. I'm in on it. Why not?
GME stands for growing my ethnostate.
Possible show title.
Oh my God. GME, Gas More Executives.
That one's better.
I was going to say Gamers Marketing Exto, but that might... I think
this has prompted some reevaluation also of we're really heading into... Like, this whole thing is uncharted waters, and that's, I think, to me, one of the big... the big takeaways is like all the rules essentially are out the window. And, you know, Spectre, you were talking about the institutional collapse of the right. I think it's broader. I mean, yes, definitely. The GOP has set its credibility on fire. I think irrespective of how you feel about the election or how you want to look at it in terms of, you know, what the fraud, the fact of the matter is Mitch McConnell blocked $2,000 checks and then betrayed Trump in the worst manner possible. Dozens of Republicans voted to impeach the most popular, you know, the guy that, again, we have our perspective on him, and that's the right perspective, which is, you know, he it was a work, and he, you know, basically conned us. Okay, now we can be upset about that or whatever, but the point is he remained extremely popular with the kind of people who put him into office for the most part, and he remains the only symbol of essentially the white working class revolt against our overlords, our Levantine overlords. So for the Republican Party to do this is, you know, it just shows how completely, and people like, I mean, fucking Liz Cheney of all people, trying to be the face of, you know, this, we're respectable conservatives. And now for her troubles, she's getting primaried and having, people show up in her district in Wyoming trying to get her out. All of which is to say, though, that it's the left, it's the right, and it's everything, or whatever. It's both sides of the kosher sandwich and the Reuben, you know, the sauerkraut in between. So this has prompted reevaluation of this like question in a way that the Jewish question in a way that is never, ever, ever, like, I mean, so we have here from Conceptual James on Twitter, who's some kind of like quasi right wing account, saying anti-Semitism is on the rise again. Truly, wokeness contains left-wing anti-Semitism. Normal right-wing anti-Semitism is flared up because of conditions and identity politics. Extra right-wing anti-Semitism is arising because lots of progressive Jews are nonsensically woke. So he's trying to say that that basically, like, the issue here is that there's so many Jews who are woke, and so many Jews on the left, and that's what's driving this flare up, this increase in right wing anti-Semitism, which is a way of trying to contain the damage. He's not entirely wrong. I mean, you know, it's a kind of oversimplification. It's the Nathan Kaufness read on K-Mac's theory and culture of critique, right? And it's a way to contain the problem. But the thing is, like, rather than sort of, you know, defuse it or try to deal with it in a way that would be more productive for them, because their dander is so up and they're freaking out so hard, we have here from our favorite, Jewish, quote unquote, right wingers, Bethany and Seth Mandel. Seth Mandel quotes it with this galaxy brain stuff here. And Bethany says, just simply, Jews do not cause anti-Semitism. If a liberal said that too many Jews are active in the conservative movement and that's what's driving left-wing anti-Semitism, that too would be bullshit. One thing drives anti-Semitism. Everything else is an excuse. I only hate the Jews because they quote XYZ. Oh, okay. Jennifer Lawrence saying, okay, thumbs up. GIF. And yeah, I mean,
basically, like, she's saying the a priori position is anti-Semitism. That's what comes first. Okay. I wonder why that is.
I mean, at a certain level, yeah, but it's more, she's just like refusing, like, no, any examination of why anyone could ever dislike or have any kind of, not even just dislike, I mean, like, the idea that there is any correlation whatsoever between anything that Jews ever do and any negative sentiment, not notably any positive sentiment, you're allowed to feel positively about Jews for whatever reason, but any negative sentiment directed at Jews as a class can a priori have no logical reason whatsoever, is completely disconnected from any causal chain whatsoever, and certainly has nothing to do with their behavior. Even in the reverse,
18 of the 25 top hedge fund people are Jews.
That's just like a coincidence, man.
40% of Biden's cabinet.
No, it's because they have like 175.
46% of the top 1%.
They have 187 IQ, and they're all 6'3". Yeah,
and all of these positions are they do means testing and IQ tests to make sure the absolute smartest, most qualified people get into those positions. That's just how it is.
From the chat, by definition, it can never be our fault.
Yeah, exactly. That's the game that they've set up.
That's how I feel about my audio engineering.
There you go.
I mean, it must be nice to live in a world where, like, anything you do can never have, like, however, anytime any people feel bad about you or, like, people like you, it by definition can never have anything to do with any of your actual behavior. I would like to live. I mean, that would be nice if I could.
Well, it was really nice before this week.
Well, and so ultimately, I guess that's the my point here, though, is this, they really have a very big problem on their hands, because this is rapidly, I would even say at this point, it's just escaped containment, and people on Biz, because I've been, you know, sort of lurking a little bit over the week just to sort of see, you know, what people are saying and sort of where, because Biz is not poll, right? Which I guess for Rhea Ryan Landers out in the audience, these are different subboards on 4chan. Poll is or was kind of a more or less explicitly National Socialist in the aggregate type place. It's where a lot of people migrated to right-wing Twitter from and into our circles from. Biz is primarily just about making money, and that's just, you know, it doesn't necessarily have the same kind of political flavor, or at least it didn't. But now biz is basically anytime anyone is saying, like, you know, just you're being stupid, take your profits and run, or you're going to be left holding the bag. It's a wall of like, shut up, Jew, go away, K word, you know, how much, you know, look at the nose. It's instant and overwhelming from all corners. It's really something to behold.
And the few leftists that have like an actual class consciousness are basically leaving this on the table for anybody who understands that there's a vitalist energy here that needs to be captured. They're basically pouting and trying to take their ball and go home. There was a thread from an ironic Marxist Leninist that was just going on and on about the petite bourgeoisie and why this is just going to create more fascists as well. I mean, if you want to leave that on the table, you go ahead and leave that on the table then.
If you want to watch these far left anarchists and Marxists actually siding with the oligarchs,
or just not participating.
I mean, the smart ones just kind of shut up and kind of pout, or they run off and do the Matt Taibbi kind of thing. But most of the most prominent ones are out there. They are cheering on the oligarchs and against this because, oh my God, these Redditors are Nazis and all this bullshit. And it's just like the big mistake here that was made was they got so angry about everything from the rise of the dissident right to the Trump years, for good or bad, that instead of playing the smart game like they do usually for decades at a time, which is be the power behind the scenes, you know, always have a goy surrogate out there to take the heat. Always, you know, Wall Street's rich white men, they just started, I guess, not caring, and they started assuming the positions of power. That's why, like D.E. mentioned, 40% of Biden's cabinet now. Or, you know, it's revealed 80% of the hedge funds owners are and managers are Jewish. They have taken prominent positions, and they've gotten so anti-white that it's like even white people who were like, oh, Jews are just, they just have a funny religion, they're just like us, are starting to go, wait a minute, what the hell is going on here? And, you know, I'm hoping some of the smarter leftists are like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Just like the conservatives who have started coming over to our side. So they can't, I guess it's the brakes on at this point. They're a vindictive people. And once they get mad, they really want to punish. And that's the tube that's out of the genie bottle right now.
I guess it's a
poetic... That was a good mixed metaphor, wasn't it?
Wait, what? The tube that's out of the genie bottle? What the?
I think I meant the tube that's out of the toothpaste that's out of the tube.
Boomer moment.
I don't know.
I was gonna say the.
I don't know, you
man,
kids.
You go away for 5 months and you lose that fastball.
There's some poetic justice here, because it just so happens that Jews taking prominent positions was precisely what fucked them over in this particular instance.
It's what fucked them over 100 years ago too in a certain other country.
Well, I'm talking about a short position.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm long on Hitler right now, so that's where I am on that whole thing.
I just want to press. I just want to press F that apparently Spector's 5 month vacation to do Alzheimer's experimental procedures did not work out.
You kids and your damn memes. No, it's great because top to bottom, from that Jewish casino known as Wall Street to K Street and up and down Pennsylvania Avenue, the system has just proven itself fragile.
It's a K Street, all right.
K Street. Yeah. I Street.
Fragile, broken, untrustworthy, rigged, and corrupt. I mean, you have these hysterical cat ladies. Oh, our sacred temples of democracy. And no one believes that, of course. But the lawmakers themselves are actually believe that this was an insurrection of some sort, that democracy was almost toppled. I'm thinking, well, if it's, you think it's that fragile, maybe it is. Well, everybody knows that democracy is fake and gay and always has been.
It is a sacred temple, and Jesus has come to chase the moneylenders out. We're on board.
Let's go. Yeah.
Can I talk about Elizabeth Warren and Ashley Babbitt here for a second? There's a connection. Elizabeth Warren wrote a book that Steve Saylor quite liked called The Two Income Trap. Really good book, along with her daughter.
Yeah, didn't she write that when she was a Republican, basically?
Yeah, yeah, but it's completely a wonderful book. It talks about how the two income trap basically letting women into the workforce has caused consumption to go up and competition for good schools. And we know all of what all this stuff means. I mean, if you are one of our guys and you read the book, you'll get a lot out of it. But there's, but you know, she was essentially advocating for, you know, nationalist type policies to support families so that we could get back to, you know, the family wage system. Ashley Babbitt lived in San Diego. The median income in San Diego is $80,000 a year. The median home price in San Diego is $483,000. The median income required to support a house that costs $483,000 is $90,000 a year. Ashley Babbitt was in a throuple because it takes three adults to support a family in San Diego, in Los Angeles, in New York, in these places. I mean, not just because of that. And there's other reasons. And Borzoi, bully me. I've got an article I want to put together for the Sun about this. But why are, you know, like, you're attacking these people for trying to live in a system where you've set it up so it takes three adults, three full-time working adults to support a family. And then when people get pissed, then instead of like, how could we possibly fix this system? Is there anything we could do as a United States senator or a congressperson to actually, in the Financial Services Committee, figure out why and how there's been this vast swath of economic destruction, particularly with the pandemic? You know, billionaires made $3.9 trillion. Working people lost $3.7 trillion.
Really makes you think, doesn't it?
And I don't know, maybe if you were on the Senate Financial, you know, Finance Committee, Financial Oversight Committee, you might be able to do something about billionaires making almost $4 trillion in the last year alone. And that just being a gigantic wealth destruction of the middle class. And maybe someone could do something about that. I don't know.
Doesn't that presuppose that Congress and the United States government in general is there to do something for the benefit of the American middle class? Why would you think that? What evidence over the last 100 years have you seen that the government has any interest in helping the middle class, ordinary white Americans? None.
Well, I mean, you know that, and I know that, but
the Judeo-industrial complex is really afraid, and like their only hope now is a nation of third world and black peons, pathetic, childless, single cat ladies, and a cowed, gelded, and poor white minority. And they are spending billions on promoting and policing diversity, and they've sped past the point of diminishing returns on that at speeds that shouldn't even be possible. And I wonder, how do they think this is going to play out? I'm genuinely curious. What do they think is going to happen when white guilt runs out and people don't care about their Holocaust fan fiction and their bullshit woke stuff anymore?
Did you say Holocaust?
I heard that this week was a Holocaust because the losses were real.
By the way, DK, an update to, because you were reading James Lindsay thing.
Yeah.
He actually just tweeted this out. FYI, the gratitude I'm receiving from rightly terrified Jews in my DMs for my tweet vastly outweighs the opprobrium I'm receiving from academics and public intellectuals in public.
What kind of academics and public intellectuals, James?
Never forget the 6 million shares.
Oh yeah, I just in case y'all don't, you know, from now on, January 27th, you know, in memory of the billions that were lost, shall henceforth and forevermore be known as International Holocaust Remembrance Day.
It's, you know, the real victims are the gamers, so that's, we're going to remember them.
Press F
on.
In the chat, please, for the dollars that were lost.
Well, it wasn't like they didn't try to make themselves the victims here this week. You saw that Cooperman guy on CNBC, his little meltdown.
This isn't an attack on rich people.
I heard that was actually from over the summer or at some point. That was an old clip. I don't know if that's true or not. It doesn't really matter.
It's still technically true.
It's like if a Jew doesn't get to make himself sad in front of an audience at least once a day, it's like pulling a fish out of water. You know, and I'm just thinking, well, you know, fuck you. But look, behind every single thing wrong with America, you find the rubbing hands. So I don't give a fuck anymore, if I ever did.
Well, hell as well, yeah. This week we had Seffi Kogan, who is head of young leadership at the American Jewish Committee Global. He's proud Columbia and JTS, which is the Jewish Theological Seminary alum. Good at crosswords, but not, crystal, but not like crystal. That good.
Crystal stonk. I'm sorry. Stonk.
I'm writing that one down. The chat. Crystal stonk. Okay, so this has been a week for narratives. This has been a week of narratives. One awkward thing about hashtag International Holocaust Remembrance Day is that people cite the entirely made up stat that 11 million people were killed in the Holocaust. Wrong. 6 million Jews were killed by gas, bullets, fire, and starvation, along with no more than 500,000 non-Jews. The Holocaust was a uniquely Jewish tragedy, and citing the 11 million number has the effect and sometimes the intent of universalizing the Holocaust. Some people, more provocative than I, refer to this as all lives mattering the Holocaust. The 11 million number comes from the famed Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal, who chose it because 5 million was close to, but crucially not more than 6 million. He hoped to elicit non-Jewish sympathy by helping them see themselves in the tragedy without numbering Jewish victims.
To translate, he did this. He lied to get sympathy. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, and hold up. One of the most trusted and important people in the whole Holocaust narrative fanfic just made something up, and he conjured up a number of 5 million victims, and it was believed, despite no evidence. That's weird. How does that happen? How could that even happen?
The Holocaust has more retcons than the Marvel Universe.
It's funny because I'm my Bugman.
That one's for my Bugman out there. Bugman. Of course, tens of millions Bugman. Of people. What?
Bugman.
Bugman. Of course, tens of millions of people of all backgrounds were victims of Nazi aggression. Many millions of these were soldiers, and millions of others were civilians killed in more ordinary wartime atrocities, i.e. not a systematic extermination scheme like the Holocaust. This is awkward because whenever you explain that the 11 million number is made up, people look at you like you're a Holocaust denier. Probably because if you said this 10 years ago, they would have called you a Holocaust denier.
Oh my God. Yeah. This is like that scene in every courtroom movie where it's like, were you lying then? Or are you lying now? Or are you just a habitual liar?
But this is well-sourced. Here's the Holocaust Museum very gently making this point.
Jews would be like, it's only okay if you deny that part of the Holocaust. Are they going to control opposition, the Holocaust? Like Holocaust revision?
I mean, they kind of tried with David Cole and on some level, you know, David Cole did good work, but it's, you know, at the same time, like he was there to kind of try and deal with some of the more obvious problems.
Wow. They'll just fucking try anything, these people, man.
And Deborah Lipstadt and other experts have also weighed in on this through the years. Here's the heartbreaking quote from the Dean of Holocaust Historians, Yehuda Bauer. I said to him, Simon, you are telling a lie, he said. Sometimes you need to do that to get the results of things you think are essential.
Oh my God.
They said the quiet part out loud.
If anyone out there is listening and they're like still on the fence about it, come on. It's right there. They just said they lied.
I will tell you, when I first came into this politics, Inspector can attest this. I never wanted to talk about Holocaust stuff. For me, the programming was very, very strong and the fear of talking about it. But the one thing that first made me really go, what? I think maybe I need to look into this was this 5 million number, because I believed it wholeheartedly. I was taught it growing up. I repeated it a number of times myself. And so when I saw the article from Jewish sources, like, yeah, we made that up, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I mean, I was told, you know, the gypsies and the homosexuals and the communists and, you know, like, well, that was all, you know, all these people that I'm supposed to care about.
The first time I got in trouble for saying something political at school was that, you know, I understood And I sympathized with the Jew, I mean the gay part of the Holocaust.
You know, people in trouble for school for saying, I was like, why should the government give money for AIDS? Like, you don't get AIDS without doing something bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got started early. That was back in middle school.
I've been a fact checker for years, but I just recently read the Thomas Dalton book, and I never, you know, and then I recommend it highly, the Debating the Holocaust, because it's a quick read. It doesn't go too deep. You know, you don't have to get a rock out and bash yourself in the brain too often. And it lays out just the paucity of any evidence. There is absolutely nothing but insane survivor stories and tortured confessions and like Borzoi said, retconned explanations of how this could have worked in a theoretical universe. There's no way this happened. And it's so blatantly obvious. But again, these are the people that also will tell people that when our uncle was talking about the big lie, he was explaining his policy and his strategy in communications rather than explaining this is what the other side, the Judeo left, does. That's all I had.
I sympathize with Wiesenthal's aims, but he was obviously wrong to do what he did. This story is a North Star for me in my advocacy work. Even if you can stretch the truth to garner sympathy for your cause, even if you think it'll help, it's still wrong. It might hurt you later. People are in my mentions like, oh my God, you're erasing the genocide of the Sinti and Roma. I'm not. You know, you just can't read. You start to sound like me now. I'm not. You just can't read. That's who the 500,000 non-Jewish victims are. Roma, people with disabilities, gay people, all systemically exterminated like the Jews. Now, this one I love. If I had not, I should have read this first, because if I had not prefaced who this guy was, this tweet would be hilarious out of context. But what none of the assholes I blocked tonight can do, because it can't be done, is explain how exactly you can arrive at the number 11 million. You can easily get to like 30 million plus if you count everyone killed by Nazi aggression, but there is no logical sum of 11 million.
Oh my God.
Oh man, talk about really shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
It's like, buddy, I know you just a selfish fucking kike and want everything to be about you and your people, but maybe you should shut the fuck up.
Well, that's the problem they're in, though. And you know, Mike has described this before, and I think it's worth repeating. And Jazz Hands too, but the point is they don't have any good options here, because, you know, if they just ignore it, or they try to like wait for it to go away, that's not, you know, there have been times and places where that would have worked. We're not in one of those times or places. And the louder that they scream and try to, you know, redirect the conversation, or, you know, and end up doubling down, the more that their lies are exposed, because there's, you know, and now it's a topic of conversation. Now it's something that, both the fake right and fake left discourse have to account for. And that's the last thing they want, is to be having to account for this, to have any kind of honest conversation about it. But people are noticing and noticing more and more. I mean, this GameStop thing has really torn the mask off, which is why, you know, to me, it's like, I wish all the attendees to shower upon our knees. You know, please, all the attendees, many attendees. But at a certain level, that matters less than like the story now has become not so much even necessarily like, okay, maybe Melvin or whoever, maybe all these hedge funds don't actually go bankrupt. It would be great if they did. But like, to me, the real win here, as with the election, where, you know, the real win was just the institutional credibility of the United States government setting itself on fire. The institutional credibility of this is just a continuation of that process. As Lewis said on NIGR, the real squeeze here is the credibility squeeze.
Is Fred from the Scooby-Doo gang squeezing the mask and pulling it off the head and revealing who's behind all these tricks.
Exactly. Exactly. And they can't hide it anymore. They can't hide behind, there was another kind of popular, I don't have the thing up, but there's a very popular, another left-wing Twitter account called @mraz, she's the feminist next door, and she has some absolutely terrible. She says, she was defending basically the hedge fund. She had a tweet from 2019. She describes herself as the feminist next door. It's pretty obvious she's Jewish. I believe she was doxxed and revealed to be. Anyway, she says, Wall Street is not the enemy of working people, for fuck's sake. This take is so pedestrian. Wall Street pays your 401k, funds your state's disability payout, and finances your town's community center. That is the level of involvement it has in your life as an average Joe. And then in a separate tweet, she reveals, she says, I'm a finance and regulatory risk attorney for Wall Street banks. So here we have a so-called left-wing Jewish feminist, right? Left-wing Jewish feminist, supposedly left-wing, who's actually, you know, employed as a finance and regulatory risk attorney for Wall Street banks. Basically, she was saying, like, the problem that she was connecting this to Gamergate and saying that, this is why we have prep, but she was basically saying, let me see if I can pull the tweet up here. She says,
fucking kike.
I'm this is me being a stuttering retard. Doesn't matter.
I'll filibuster while you look. I was just gonna say, I just want to welcome Sethi Kogan to the ranks of Holocaust fact checkers. And let me tell you, we can send you reams of information on how it's impossible to completely dispose of and disappear the bodies of 5 million people, nay, even 6 million people. And you're welcome to it. I mean, these people don't understand. They call the people who are actually trying to, you know, find the real history revisionist, but they've been revising their story since 1945, and actually before that, but still, they've been revising this and retconning it, like Borzoi said, from day one, because nothing makes sense when you look at it. But did it give you enough time to find what you're looking for?
Yes, it did. She says, she's thank you for that filibuster. She says, fuck an unfuckable asshole or his bad behavior is your, she's quote tweeting another tweet. She says, what happened here, i.e. with GameStop stock? It's about sex, specifically young men not having enough sex. Sex leads to relationships, obligations, and guardrails. Don't get in fights. We need you. Don't gamble your paycheck. We need to save for a house. A bored, angry young man is the most dangerous person in the world. When countries have unemployed young men who are single, the likelihood that country goes to war escalates. We have cut the share of wealth of young people in half in the last 30 years, 19% to 9%. Arm young men in a basement, not at work, not having sex, not forming connections, with a Robinhood account, a phone, and stimulus, and you have the perfect storm of volatility as they wage war against established players while squeezing the dopamine bag harder and harder. No lies detected in any of that.
What did they expect was going to happen?
Exactly. Well, I mean, again, there's plenty to chew on even just there. But this this Jewish feminist so-called left-wing Wall Street attorney says, fuck an unfuckable asshole or his bad behavior is your fault is not a new take, but it's decidedly worse when the unfuckables are the same guys who ran, wait for it, Gamergate, to which some of the top replies, and she's getting killed in the republic. She's getting ratioed to hell.
Doubted Sargon. You all doubted him. We got too cocky, bros. We got too cocky.
So the top reply, which has 830 likes, says, how to conflate Gamergate and GameStop because both contain the word game. And to which the feminist next door replies, how to understand that both started on Reddit amongst incel types who decided to make a collaborative effort to fuck with people more or less just because. Which, like, no, I mean, that's all lies, but I just find it, yeah, anyway.
Well, no, hold on a second. So,
the Jew cries out in pain as she takes your video games.
This is just, right. I literally just wanted to play video games. I literally... You know, my whole journey here, literally. So there was, whatever. It's fine. I could talk about it. I was on the Penny Arcade forums, like, way back. I wasn't even, like, on them, but I was, you know, I would sort of lurk and check things out. And there was a kerfuffle in Penny Arcade, which is a kind of gaming comic. Oh man, this was long. This was before. I guess no. It was. I would have been around anyway. It doesn't matter. There was basically a sequence of events where one of the two people making it, one of the comic strips was making, had a joke, just a throwaway joke about being raped to death by dick wolves. Which
I remember dick wolves.
Right. which was funny. It was a funny kind of throwaway line. Is like, you know, just a bad thing to happen would be raped to death by dick wolves. But this was like just starting to be the point in time where, you know, people were getting all their problem glasses on and you can't make jokes about rape. And so they got a bunch of pushback and they doubled down in response. And at some point there was I guess in the immediate aftermath, there was some kind of game about, I don't know, it was some kind of feminist game about vaginas that was receiving some kind of backlash. And so as part of the doubling down on that, they were like, you know, basically making fun of people who were pushing back against this game because, quote, not all women have vaginas. At which point, like, there was a reader revolt, at least among some vocal contingent of their readers, and they had to do damage control in what was then their kind of like news thing that has gone away since. So there was all this stuff happening on like sort of in the community around Penny Arcade about like people having this issue with this video game, this feminist video. It was a terrible like non-game feminist video game about vaginas, but it was still not enough for these people because, quote, not all women have vaginas. And so I jumped in. I just made a very innocuous comment. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Obviously, women have vaginas. How is this even like a topic of conversation? I was banned within about 5 minutes. It was like, they were like, take your transphobic bullshit elsewhere. And I was like, what the hell is transphobic? What are these words that you're, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's a made up word.
Right.
Is there anything that feminist content creators create that's not focused on and surrounding and all about the vagina? Whether they're comedians or gamers or game makers or whatever, it's always my vagina.
And here's the truth. White women are so spoiled that they forgot that the world works the way it does. Feminism is literally, I am so well taken care of that I have to bitch about having to deal with other women.
Yeah. Well,
to Dharma King's point about
even women can't stand other women.
That's absolutely true. to Dharma King's point about you know, create these conditions, see what happens. I am a zennial, you know, edge of Xer, millennial, old guy now. My generation, now that we're reaching 40 years old, controls like 4% of the nation's wealth. When the boomers were 40, they controlled 25%. So how many people are 35 and childless? How many women are 35 and have no children? We're talking complete societal failure here. We are talking a crater, like just the bottom completely dropping out of the normal way of a functioning society where old people die and give their money to their sons and daughters so that they can have families. We're talking complete societal collapse. And people are like, well, it's not fair that you get some of your own money back. Go ahead, Boris.
I was just making a joke, but what I said to this feminist next door as well was, unless you find a way to deal with the material conditions of a single D-class A men with a lot of time on their hands, especially in a lockdown screen-based economy, no amount of NGO scare pieces about them is going to just make up and make them disappear, and Netflix ain't cutting it.
Well, and this is why I'm actually so excited about the time. We've been saying stuff about, you know, why America, this and that, and it's a little bit hyperbolic, at least for the last couple of years. But look at where we are now. The power is nakedly being used against us. We have all these displaced and cast aside human junk capital white males with no real stake in society. And our masters, the oligarchs, the internationalists, the globalists, they see that the only way they can continue to control this is hands-on, and it's getting worse and worse. And it's gotten to it's so goddamn ridiculous, the world is. And we have all these, you know, dispossessed now conservatives coming to us. And our uncle said later on in the 30s, he said in the 1920s, it was dangerous to be a member of the National Socialist German Workers' Party. That's why back then we had the best fighters early on. So we already have a cadre of people who have been shaped by this, molded by it, who are, you know, toughened up,
they become anti-fragile, and they sort of form the core of a growing movement. And, you know, 100 years later, we're going to see a repeat. We are going to see it. And that's why this is such an exciting time to be alive. That's why, like, you know, the more the mask is off, the more naked their aggression and their spite and their vengefulness, the better for us.
So we have an update, actually, and this is, I guess you could call it breaking news on that very note. To return to Conceptual James, who continues to mix it up with Jews on Twitter, he's genuinely, like, not anti-Semitic at all, but he just doesn't understand what's happening, and it's hilarious to watch. So he just posted a screenshot a few minutes ago of Seth Rogen, the unfunny Jewish comedian, DMing him, "Are you Jewish?" To which he, like, you know, posts the screenshot and writes LMAO. So he just, imagine. Yeah, he's just like, okay, I don't even know how to respond to, like, all the, you know, now all these Jews are jumping in my mentions, like, doing their neurotic thing. Like, what is someone supposed to do?
Oh God, why are you Jewish? Tell me now. Do we want to do the Forbes article?
Sure. I mean, it's all part and parcel. This really is.
Yeah, it is. So we've got this Joy Tamney, who says, ignore the populist GameStop hype. Short sellers are heroes. Back around 2007, investor John Paulson began to feel skeptical about the viability of mortgage securities. Though demand for them was much greater than supply, Paulson sensed that lending standards had plummeted so far that loan delinquencies were starting to surge. The third-rate hedge fund manager, in parentheses, that's what those who covered him at the top investment bank felt, proceeded to very inexpensively purchase insurance on mortgages. He was able to because the consensus in the marketplace was that he was very wrong. As readers know, Paulson was subsequently vindicated in 08. Funny about the billions he made on his bet was that all too many looked askance at his remarkable gains. Paulson was said to be profiting from the pain experienced by borrowers and lenders. In truth, Paulson was a hero. His major investment gain sent a crucial signal that lenders should shrink their exposure to home loans. Realistically, billions were diverted from a form of lending that, at the time, was no longer viable. Translated, Paulson's billions helped avert what would have been a much bigger economic crash if the faulty lending had continued. Paulson's story is a useful way to approach all the overdone excitement about GameStop without presuming to know what the intimate details of the gaming retailer, all the talk that its soaring share price is happy evidence of the small investors striking back against big bad hedge funds who were short the company's shares is patently absurd. For one, it's not very reasonable to suggest, as some do, that a collection of investors inspired by Reddit could routinely move markets, thus putting those allegedly awful hedge funds out of business. For those who think otherwise, they might attempt to make it their investment strategy to join the Reddit herd in the future. Don't do that. You wouldn't do that. You'd be stupid. Don't do that. You want to be smart like me.
You're laughing. Hedge fund managers lost billions, and you're laughing.
Imagine hating Reddit for the wrong reasons.
No shit. I mean, it's just like saying loan sharks are heroes because they're giving loans to people who otherwise couldn't get them. They're just having to charge a lot because of the recovery rate. They're going, what can I say? I got to charge you 56%.
He continues, that's the case because the stock market is a lot more complicated than simple supply, demand, and huge demand surges resulting in soaring shares. The reason for this is that a company's valuation as expressed through shares isn't solely a consequence of share scarcity as much as it's a speculation in the marketplace about all the dollars said company will earn over its lifetime. In other words, every public company would aggressively limit outstanding share count if it were the path to a tripling of its value. It's not. Back to GameStop. The alleged revenge that small investors are enjoying over hedge funds is rooted in a misunderstanding about short sellers. In this case, it's said that a few hedge funds were short GameStop's shares The shares have surged, as everyone knows, which means a few hedge funds are said to be collapsed. The populists are cheering. Those awful traders will never short again. Let's wipe out a few more of those producers of misery.
Actually, if it's true that the hedge funds were wiped out by GameStop's surge, it's a reminder of how heroic hedge funds are in the first place.
It's a reminder that if they didn't exist, we would have to invent them. Think about it. There is arguably no risk.
Just like the Holocaust, if it didn't exist, they'd have to invent it.
Yeah. Well, actually. There is arguably no riskier market move than to short a public company's shares. In doing so, a public company skeptic borrows shares in the marketplace, pays for the right to borrow the shares, and then sells them. The investment or bet in being short is that the investor who is short will be able to re-enter the market, purchase the shares previously sold short, only at a much lower price. The profit is in the difference between the proceeds taken in when selling the borrowed shares versus the cost of buying back the shares borrowed. It's a great trade, if it works. It seemingly didn't work for some institutional investors. This just keeps going on and on. He's just seething.
Yeah, seething. His companion piece is going to be called, pimps are heroes too.
I've got some breaking retard news here. This is from Sadie Farrell, who's got a anarchist flag emoji. So finance bros who post on Reddit are normal, regular people, but homeless black trans women fighting cops with no internet access are weirdo freak agents of the DNC.
Yes.
Yes. .jpg.
It's a profile. Yes.
So what possibly, this tickles my tism, what possibly could the decline of malls and the destruction of malls and the 08 housing crisis have in common? Oh, wait, that's right. Minorities were given unlimited access to white spaces and caused massive destruction in both cases. And we're supposed to just not like, oh, hey, you know what would solve this problem of the decline of the mall? Let us keep black people out of the mall. You know what would cause the housing market to stabilize and not have such huge problems and not have this gigantic, ridiculous, sprawling mess of a suburb problem? Let us keep them over there and us over here.
White nationalism solves all your problems.
Most of them.
I got to leave in 10 minutes, so I'd like to do at least one more thing.
I'd like to, too. I forgot how long these goddamn shows are.
Yeah. Do you guys want to talk about ghost villages, or do you guys want to talk about LA County cremation?
I'm interested in cremation.
I like both.
I might be able to knock out both quickly. The cremation one's actually short. My wife sent me this because she's been talking to some travel nurses who've got some inside scoop on this stuff, but proof once again that we're still lagging behind that incredible Nazi technology from 80 years ago. We just have not been able to catch up to German efficiency from 1942. LA County, this is from the Business Insider, LA County has suspended air quality regulations that limit the number of cremations as it handles a backlog of bodies from the pandemic. Los Angeles County has temporarily lifted air quality regulations that limit the number of cremations that can be performed monthly as officials handle a backlog of bodies of people who have died during the COVID-19 pandemic. The South Coast Air Quality Management District said in a news release on Sunday that it was issuing an emergency order to lift the cremation limit put in place based on potential air quality impacts after requests from the Los Angeles County Medical Examiner and the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health. According to an order issued by the South Coast AQMD, which regulates air pollution in multiple counties across Southern California, as of January 15, there were more than 2,700 bodies being stored at hospitals in LA County and at the coroner's office, and officials didn't have the resources or capability to perform cremations under current regulations. The current rate of death is more than double that of pre-pandemic years, leading to hospitals, funeral homes, and crematoriums exceeding capacity without the ability to process the backlog of cases, the agency said, adding that any facility planning to exceed cremation limits should file an email notice citing capacity and temperature requirements.
Why don't they just put three bodies in each one? That speeds it up. That's what I was told.
I just want to point out here that they cannot handle 2,700 bodies. So they're still, this is how bad the United States is doing, guys. It's like, how can you deny we're in a total collapse? We can't even catch up to makeshift camps from 1945 in Poland. They had better technology back then. Better techniques.
This puts me in an uncomfortable position because the magical technology of the 30s and 40s crematory in the camps not existing anymore is one of the things that kind of pushed me down the road towards fact checking. But then
German crematoriums are like Greek fire. We lost the ability to create those crematoriums.
Well, and then I was talking to Johnny and he points out how NASA says that they don't have the technology to get us to the moon anymore, even though it's been 50 plus years. So now I'm kind of starting to think maybe the moon landing was fake.
Oh, we're not turning the show into every starlet is actually a tranny, okay? We're not going down that road.
Keep going, my man.
That's a containment podcast. We're not that stuff stays there. Los Angeles County has reported 13,848 deaths from COVID-19 since the pandemic began and more than 1 million cases overall. Hospitals recently said they were running out of oxygen, while in December, a coffin manufacturer said East LA was facing a wood shortage due to demand increase amid COVID-19 deaths. The South Coast AQMD said the order lifting cremation regulations would last 10 days, but may be extended as the county coroner anticipates that another surge is approaching as a result of the New Year's holiday, since deaths tend to occur 4 to 6 weeks after gatherings. The agency said all other air quality rule requirements would remain in effect during its lift on cremation restrictions.
Unbelievable. The evidence is right in front of everybody's eyes, but they just don't want to believe it because
Big Tony, we got to go to the moon to get the magic cremos from the moon Nazis.
Nice.
All right, I'm just going to quickly run through this one as well. So, you know, if you guys want, once again, proving that the Pine Bros, that Graph Twitter is on the cutting edge of this stuff, that when we told you to learn to cobble, we meant it. As birth rates fall, animals prowl in our abandoned ghost villages. Human populations are set to decline in countries from Asia to Europe, and an unusual form of rewilding is taking place. I've seen this firsthand when I lived in Detroit, by the way. For many years, it seemed that overpopulation was the looming crisis of our age. Back in 68, the Stanford biologist Paul and Ann Ehrlich infamously predicted that millions would soon starve to death in their best-selling doomsaying book, The Population Bomb. Since then, neo-Malthusian rumblings of imminent disaster have been a continual refrain in certain sections of the environmental movement, fears that were recently given voice on David Attenborough's documentary Life on Our Planet. At the time, the Ehrlichs were publishing their dark prophecies, the world was at its peak of population growth, which at that point was increasing at a rate of 2.1% a year. Since then, the global population has ballooned from 3.5 billion to 7.67 billion. But growth has slowed considerably. As women's empowerment advances and access to contraception improves, birth rates around the world are stuttering and stalling. And in many countries now, there are fewer than 2.1 children per woman, the minimum level required to maintain a stable population. Falling fertility rates have been a problem in the world's wealthiest nations, notably in Japan and Germany, for some time. In South Korea last year, birth rates fell to 0.84 per woman, a record low despite extensive government efforts to promote childbearing. From next year, cash bonuses of 2 million won, which is basically 1,300 pounds, will be paid to every couple expecting a child on top of existing child benefit payments. The fertility rate is also falling dramatically in England and Wales, from 1.9 children per woman in 2012 to just 1.65 in 2019. Provisional figures from the Office for National Statistics for 2020 suggest it could now be 1.6, which would be the lowest rate since before the Second World War. The problem is even more severe in Scotland, where the rate has fallen from 1.67 in 2012 to 1.37 in 2019. Increasingly, this is also the case in middle-income countries, too, including Thailand and Brazil. In Iran, a birth rate of 1.7 children per woman has alarmed the government. It recently announced that state clinics would no longer hand out contraceptives or offer vasectomies. Thanks to this worldwide pattern of falling fertility levels, the UN now believes that we will see an end to population growth within decades before the slide begins in earnest. An influential study in The Lancet last year predicted that the global population would come to a peak much earlier than expected, reaching 9.7 billion in 2064 before dropping to 8.79 billion by 2100. Falling birth rates, noted the authors, were likely to have significant economic, social, environmental, and geopolitical consequences around the world.
Their model predicted that 23 countries would see their populations more than half before the end of the century, including Spain, Italy, and Ukraine. China, where a controversial one-child-per-couple policy brought in to slow spiraling population growth only ended in 2016, is now also expected to experience massive population declines in the coming years by an estimated 48% by 2100. It's growing ever clearer that we are looking at a future very different from the one we had been expecting, and a crisis of a different kind as aging populations place shrinking economies under ever greater strain. But what does population decline look like on the ground? The experience of Japan, a country that has been showing the trend, this trend for more than a decade, might offer some insight. Already, there are too few people to fill all its houses. One in every eight homes now lies empty. In Japan, they call such vacant buildings akiya, ghost homes. Most often to be found in rural areas, these houses quickly fall into disrepair, leaving them as eerie presences in the landscape, thus speeding the decline of the neighborhood. Many akiya have been left empty after the death of their occupants. Inherited by their city living relatives, many go unclaimed and untended. With so many structures under unknown ownership, local authorities are also unable to tear them down. Some Japanese towns have taken extreme measures to attract new residents, offering to subsidize renovation expenses or even giving houses away to young families. With the country's population expected to fall from 127 million to 100 million or even lower by 2049, these akiya are set to grow ever more common and are predicted to account for a third of all Japanese housing stock by 2033. As the rural population declines, old fields and neglected gardens are reclaimed by wildlife. Sightings of Asian black bears have been growing increasingly common in recent years as the animals scavenge unharvested nuts and fruit as they ripen on the bough. And this goes on, but I'll jump to the end right here. Rural abandonment on a large scale is one factor that has contributed to the recent resurgence of large carnivores in Europe. Lynx, wolverines, brown bears, and wolves have all seen increases in their populations over the last decade. In Spain, the Iberian wolf has rebounded from 400 individuals to more than 2,000, many of which are to be found haunting the ghost villages of Galicia as they hunt wild boar and roe deer, whose numbers have also skyrocketed. A brown bear was spotted in Galicia last year for the first time in 150 years. A vision of the future, perhaps, in a post-peak world, smaller populations crowding ever more tightly into urban centers, and outside, beyond the city limits, the wild animals prowling. So if you do not want to live in the pod and eat the bugs, you may have a chance to go become, you know, to re-frontier our own homelands.
Hell yeah.
In the world I see, you are stalking out through the damp canyon forest around the ruins of Rockefeller Center. You'll wear leather clothes that will last you the rest of your life. You'll climb the rustic kudzu vines that wrap the Sears Tower. And when you look down, you'll see tiny figures pounding corn, laying strips of venison on the empty carpool lane of some abandoned superhighway.
I was thinking that too. We just got a hodl, guys. We just got a hodl on our intransigent populism to prevent more people from coming in, and we can rewild it ourselves.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Oh, I'm so sick of these people. I don't like them, and I don't think I trust them.
Yeah.
Why is the rural village, which is the natural home of man, falling apart?
Almost like modernity is bad for society.
You'd think.
Yeah, don't reject the modern world because it's modern. Reject it because it's evil.
Well, this is something I've also been thinking about, that I've talked to some people about, is that where a lot of the violence and a lot of the turmoil is going to be found within the coming decades, it's not the cities, it's going to be the suburbs. And we're already starting to see them fan more and more out into the suburbs as they try to diversify the suburbs, put people, I mean, when, what was the wake up call for a lot of people, the Ferguson riots. Ferguson was a suburb of St. Louis before it got diversified. Right. And that's the pattern that's going to hold for a long time. And if you go to Detroit and you look around, A lot of people think, like, oh, if you step into Detroit, you're just going to immediately get shot or something. It's like, no, actually, Detroit has, since the 1950s, Detroit has lost more than 50% of its population, most of those people moving out into the suburbs. It's a completely collapsed and abandoned city internally, to the point that if you walk around at night, depending on the neighborhood you walk in, you won't run into a single soul. There are complete ghost towns within the city of Detroit. The Delray and Brightmoor, for instance, are two completely depopulated neighborhoods. There's just nobody there. People moved out. People got shot. People, houses burned down. People died of drug overdoses. They're just
gone. And so you're seeing this combination of the cities being depopulated as they move out into the suburbs, but and also the rural areas also being depopulated. So you're getting this weird combination of urban ghost towns and rural ghost towns. And that's going to be where people are going to, and like for people like us, for dissidents, where people are going to end up. They're going to end up in the middle of nowhere, or they're going to end up in the middle of a city that is basically mostly not policed because there's just not enough people there to handle it. Collapsed cities and collapsed rural countrysides are going to be where we're the best places for us to end up, because that's going to be where we're going to have the least amount of attention. We're going to be able to do, you know, to work on our struggle for the future.
Absolutely. Are you going to have to get going, or you got a few more minutes or what?
I got a couple minutes. I just got to get ready.
Okay. So you might have anything else big. I was just going to finish it off talking about the NJP and all that, the last event.
Sounds like a good way to end.
Okay. Well, before I do that, somebody in the chat said, get a crossbow. And I'm like, no, you've been watching too many movies. Get yourself a recurve and a practice. I took it up like last summer, and it, not only is it good for your chest strength, it's also just addictive. And, you know, if the collapse comes, you'll be able to hunt quietly, very quietly. Anyway, so I was privileged enough to be at like at least two of the last three NJP events, including the most recent one. And, you know, on extremely short notice, we got, I don't know, 100, 150 guys out there. And, you know, you need to go listen to Mike's speech about the White Terror. In and of itself, that was probably one of his best NJP speeches, maybe since the first one. I don't know. It might have been better than the first one. But it, more importantly than that is the sense of camaraderie and the energy you get when you go to one of these events, because they made another of the many mistakes that the system has made is pushing us offline. Like, I don't do social media anymore. Fuck that. But that has triggered the need for actual in real life networking and knowing people and getting and joining these things. And it's time for white people to advocate for their own interests without apology. And you do that not with some kind of stupid goon march or anything like that, and not by just sitting around shitposting all day on Twitter, which, believe me, I understand the addictive level of that. But what they're building with the NJP, and I'm going to sit here and shill for it kind of openly, but the demands are fairly simple. I've had so much success in normalizing normies with the NJP platform because, like I said, they read this and they're like, well, that kind of makes sense. I thought there was going to be some kind of like horrible, you know, gas the you know, what's. And they're like, well, and I'm like, no, this is the third position politically is the best hope for nationalists. And it's the only one that will move us forward, because it's not a crime to want to not be a minority in your ancestral homeland. It's not a crime to want to stick up for your own people. It's not a crime to love your own people. And you get to, you know, when you get involved like this, and when we network, we are not, it's not just about going to an event and just, you know, getting to shake hands and all that. We are actually building parallel societies. Whether you're talking about the Manor Bund or any of these other organizations, pool parties, or what we're doing with the NJP, it is going to, as the system collapses around us, and I'm not talking about collapse in the same way that Borzoi does, but as the trust in the system around us collapses and people on even the nominal right are hounded out of jobs, hounded out of neighborhoods, just for, you know, being normal white people. We are building support networks to, you know, get people jobs, to get people support, to find each other, to, you know, network in positive ways, life-affirming ways, and, you know, doing everything above board. But just, there's no substitute for that. And it almost sounds strange, because you have to explain in this atomized world what it's actually like to have community again, but it's a wonderful feeling. And so you just have to remember going forward, our lives don't belong to us. They belong to our ancestors and they belong to our progeny. We're part of that continuum. And so what I would like to encourage people to do is to go to nationaljusticeparty.com, get involved with any other, you know, vetted, serious groups that are out there, the Manor Bund, pool parties, whatever, and just see how much you can, you know, end up bettering yourself, because that kind of spirit around you only makes you want to better yourself. And I've just been lucky enough to have been involved, and I think everybody ought to. That's all I had to say, I guess. My mic went dead again, didn't it? Fuck.
No.
No, that was Mike's speech. That was beautiful.
Mike's speech is called The White Scare. It's White available. Scare. It's available on the National Justice Party's website or the National Justice Party's official Telegram channel. I would strongly encourage anyone who's interested in this sort of stuff to be very careful about what you see, because there's people trying to spoof it. As this week has shown, you know, left-wingers constantly, we won't team up with fascists, and people being very worried about the NJP's 25-point platform. We have the solutions, and this makes people very nervous, and so they're trying to lead people down a false path with a false and fake websites and other stuff like that. So be very careful about who and what you take as official NJP.
don't type in the wrong URL.
This
is it's just a movement to stick up for ourselves, and to, you know, it's not about winning political races right now. It's building a consensus. It's building a platform. It's building something that we can grow. It's fertile ground, and there's plenty of fertile ground out there, and we're cultivating it. I'm probably mixing some more farming metaphors here. I don't know, but you get the idea.
Unofficial 26th point is buy GME and HODL.
All right, are we about to finish up here?
Sounds
yeah, nice. I think that's about it.
Okay, real quick, we'll do plugs. Borzoi, you want to take the floor?
I think Borzoi slipped out. I think
he's not here.
Okay. Well, you can hear him pretty regularly. I'm not sure what his schedule is right now with People Square. And is he still doing Hyper-Podcastism?
Hyper-Podcast.
That's not done.
Okay. So,
there's episodes of Pause Button that are being worked on. People Square is Friday nights. There's obviously Third Rail Saturday mornings, and all of that can be found at the rightstuff.biz. Check out his John Chapman articles at The American Sun. If you haven't already, go to Antelope Hill Publishing and pick up Hitler by Wyndham Lewis. Borzoi wrote the foreword. I think that's basically all his stuff.
Okay. Nikkei.
Listen to The Young Whites on the rightstuff.biz.
Got it. And DK?
Right Wing Dharma Squads remains on hiatus, but we do plan to come back. In the meantime, the National Institute for Gamer Review, or NIGR, has we have an episode up yesterday. Actually, two. One on we're on YouTube. We also have an RSS. We discussed a little bit also about this whole situation with GameStop, and we have episodes coming up on Paradox Games versus Total War Games, as well as the Mass Effect series. So watch out for those in the near future.
Oh, wait, you're going to do Mass Effect?
Yep.
Have you already done it?
We have, but we can always revisit.
Shit. Okay.
Sorry, well, whatever. We could. I mean, it would be nice to have you on. We'll figure it out. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, where do you think Spectre comes from?
No, and you know, it was funny because you had that great music going on in the background in some of the midnight specials, and at first I was like, it sounds familiar. I thought it was like XCOM music. I wasn't sure, and then I was like, duh, it's from Mass Effect.
Yep. We are all Bugmen. And DE, do you have anything to plug? I know you were just on something.
I was on TESUB, the Absolute State of Britain, last week, right. And then I was just on Full House with Coach and the Boys. This most recent show, so
Coach, shout out. All right, so go to national-justice.com, dissident-mag.com, and nationaljusticeparty.com. Join us at the TRS radio network behind the paywall for premium content. That's the rightstuff.biz/paywall. And I don't know, I'm not up on what they're accepting now. I don't Dogecoin, GameStop stonk, or silver sent by passenger pigeon. I don't know. You'll figure out a way to pay for them. But I guess that's it for this week. There is no I in team, but there's a U in Auschwitz, Shlomo. Remember, they call you racist, they call you a Nazi, they call you a sexist, they call you an anti-Semite. But what they don't call you is a liar, because deep down in their little shriveled up hearts and midwit brains, they know you're telling the truth. Mr. Producer, hail victory. See ya, Kyle. We'll be right back.